And welcome to the Deuce Podcast. I'm Brad.
And I am Jeremy.
And Jeremy, we are headed towards Halloween, and we do Halloween specials every year. Last year we did werewolves.
Yes, werewolves.
And this year we are doing witches.
Witches.
So we are starting things off with episode 75 of the Deuce Podcast, our witch series. I don't know which witch is which, maybe we're going to call it that. I have no clue what we're going to call this, but we are doing 2000s film, the 2000 film Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2.
Yes, an interesting one.
I almost forgot it. I don't know why.
Where the subtitle piece of it
comes
first.
Before.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can watch Blair Witch 2, because I want to call it Blair Witch 2 Book of Shadows, but it's Book of Shadows.
Yes.
On Hulu, if you are a Hulu subscriber.
Yep.
You can watch, they say, the Blair Witch trilogy, but really it's Blair Witch 1, 2, and then the reboot.
The reboot, cool. Yeah.
From 2016. This came out in 2000, like I said before, 1 year after the Blair Witch original movie came out.
Yes.
Go ahead. Do you have some information about this movie?
Well, I was going to say, so...
Oh, you were.
I remember when the Blair Witch came out... I don't know about you. I know it was a huge cultural phenomenon.
It was a huge cultural phenomenon.
And so I saw it in theaters.
A lot of people did.
Well, now, the people I was with, like the group of us, there was a whole bunch of us who never went camping or anything like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And there's me and my friend Rachel. And both of us grew up camping and doing outdoorsy stuff. And so when we watched Blair Witch... We both were giggling through it because there were so many stupid things that were like, what? Like, why would you, what is that? And like, it was just, we thought it was ridiculous. I appreciate it for what it was, but like, I have always kind of thought the Blair Witch was silly. But we, so when this one came out, I was just kind of, I thought, all right, I'm not sure what this is, like the trailers just gave it kind of a different look, and I'm like, I guess I don't understand what it was, so I waited until it came out to like the pay channels and watched it there.
The thing about Blair Witch, I did enjoy the first Blair Witch movie. Yeah. I went with a bunch of people who heightened the experience for me a little bit better than you, I would say, so I enjoyed it a lot better. I enjoyed the phenomenon of it. I enjoyed the marketing aspect of it.
That was, yeah. Talk about viral
brilliant.
Marketing.
The marketing in
of the Blair Witch. It was viral marketing.
We all know is out of this world. And has made, I think this is, Blair Witch is the, like, the best grossing, like, indie movie. I think it was filmed for $22,000 or something like that. Yeah. So it's one of those phenomenons, of course. And, but there's also a gimmick to it.
Yeah.
That once you know the gimmick, it's like, are you in for the ride still? And so I think that's where in lies the problems and the non-problems of this movie, Blair Witch 2.
Can I say, too, when
Book of Shadows.
People and the people we were with enhanced it, too. Rachel and I were giggling through it, but we were also laughing really hard because out of our group, we had one guy named Dan who was cried through the last part of it. Like, he was so... freaked out by this that he like over dramatically cried.
Of course, after that there was so many parodies that came from it. So many. My friend Amber went with me and she said, "I'm afraid of flannel now," which I thought that was such a great review for a movie.
Yeah,
I'm afraid of flannel now. God, I love Amber. Anyway, we should take a break.
Yes.
And then come back and drop the deuce, shall we?
Let's do it.
So after these messages, we'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Ben from BS3 Sports and Music, and I'm proud to be a part of the No Phony Podcast Network. Visit our website at nophonynetwork.com to be on top of all the great shows. And follow us on all of our social media sites.
And we're back.
We are back.
Are we? Or are we not? All right. So let's get into the Blair Witch 2, shall we? Book of Shadows. I always want to not call it Book of Shadows.
I know. This movie, we'll talk about more how we feel about it, but...
We will.
I'm just going to say up front, this movie is a movie that suffered at the hands of the studio.
It did suffer in the hands of the studio, and I think it also suffers from the phenomenon of the first one.
Yeah.
The greatness of the first one, or the aspect of the first one, kind of hurts it and helps it, too, in the times.
It does,
in the ways that it does. So go
ahead. Was it Joe Berlinger or Berlinger? I'm not sure how his name is pronounced.
The director of this movie?
Yeah.
This is his first and only feature film. He's mostly a documentarian.
Yeah. Which is crazy that he... you have a movie that had that documentary feel in the first one, and this one kind of loses it a little bit.
Well, I feel like the studio kind of wanted the same thing.
Yeah.
Yes. And then when they didn't get this same thing, they were like, no, but we're tacking this on.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like there was splits in this movie, especially at the beginning and the end, where it felt like two different movies.
Yes. Yeah, it did.
In the middle, it kind of did, but not really. It kind of pushed further.
I think what Berlinger was aiming at was much more like, it would be like the found footage movies that we see today, where there's a lot of, you see like something incidentally scary in the background of, somebody walks by and you see like a silhouette in the background, and those are the jump scares that freak us out with found footage stuff. But I think he was trying that, and I think he really could have been the pioneer of some of, like, he could have made a lot more of those things like we know them today at the forefront. But the studio was like, no, what
I
is
think
this?
So too.
And they tried to jam traditional
kind of
stuff.
It's weird because I feel like that too in this movie. I feel like, man, this guy really could have done something.
Yeah.
And kind of almost changed the way. It's so weird that I'm saying this about like this movie.
Yeah.
But I feel like he could have changed in a certain way. It just fell flat.
Yeah. Well, I think he would have.
There's also
done
like
what we
the
took
allegories
many
of like the characters themselves represent each, like the different aspects of it. It's not necessarily like a horror movie, but there's allegories in it, just like any horror movie should, any good horror movie.
Yes.
Especially with the characters, having six different characters and having them each kind of represent something. That's originally what he kind of wanted to do.
The five of them?
There's six of them, isn't there? Five of them?
Five of them.
Oh, yeah, there's three girls and two. Yeah.
Two guys.
Yeah, two guys. Five of them. Yes.
This is like the worst episode of How I Met Your Mother.
Kind of. In a way, it is.
They ended very similarly. But
yes, with death and destruction.
Yeah. But this movie, like, it did okay. I think it rode a lot on the wave from the first one.
Yeah.
But it made... So it cost $15 million to make, which
that's
is nuts.
That's crazy.
Considering the first one was like $22,000.
That's crazy.
Where's
the $15 million in this movie? I don't really see this movie.
Well, the sets and like the video stuff, there was a lot more like special effect stuff that you just didn't have in the first one.
Yeah.
But it ended up grossing like $47 million, so not bad. Financially it was a success.
Yeah, right. I mean, you got your money back.
Yeah.
Whoever invested in this.
Yeah. So, all right. Well,
should we drop the deuce on this?
Let me drop the deuce.
Okay.
So the movie takes place way in the past in 1999.
Way in the past.
Way in the past. It's almost 20 years old. It's almost 20 years ago.
Well, no, but like this movie... So, when is this movie taking place?
1999.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, November 1999.
Oh, but The Blair Witch was like, that came out in 1999, but it took place in like something.
Yeah, it took place years earlier.
Yeah.
Because they found the footage.
93 or something like that or something. Yeah.
So basically, the movie is kind of meta, really.
Yeah,
too.
It has those elements of meta.
Yeah. It opens with all these people who are descending upon Burkittsville, Maryland because of the Blair Witch Project, the movie. So it talks about the movie and it says, hey, people think it's real. They're descending on the town. They're trying to go out in the woods and contact the witch. And you see, like, we get introduced to some things. Like, we, was it the Lanny Flaherty, who has been in tons of things, play the sheriff. Who I love the sheriff, by the way.
The sheriff in this movie?
Yeah.
He's fine.
He's like that, he's that perfect, like, gruff asshole kind of guy for me in these movies. Like, he, every time he came on, I was like, yes. Like, I love to hate him.
Really?
Yeah.
Whatever. I could care less about him.
But he's chasing people out of the woods, saying, there is no Blair Witch, get out of here. And you see other people selling stuff, or, like, there was a lady who said people wanted one of the, or they saw rocks that she had in her yard, and they were like, is this from, like, the Blair Witch? Is this from, like, the house? And then she was like, no. And they're like, well, can we buy one? And so pretty soon she just started selling the rocks out of her rock garden.
Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Like, come on.
And so there's this whole, like, okay, you know, some people are profiting off of it. Some just,
I told you about
hated.
The time that we were at a Renaissance festival and some guy came up to my dad and said, Are you Alex Karras?
What?
The
really?
Dad from Webster? Yeah. And he said, no, I'm his brother. And I'm like, no, Dad, you should get, like, money for, like, yeah, you can have my autograph, but, like, you know, $10.
Yeah.
Maybe we can make some money off of this. I don't know.
That sitcom would be hilarious, because that's how you summon Alex Karras. Well, now you summon him, you know, other ways. But
that's what I mean. Like, I was like, he was dead a long...
Was
like,
he dead when he asked
dead
him?
Dead when he asked him. So
are
like,
you Alex Karras?
Are you the ghost of Alex Karras?
The shambling corpse of Alex Karras?
Are you Alex Karras of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival? Are you the ghost?
Yes. Yes, I am. Anyway, so people have descended upon the town. We also, this is the first time we meet Jeff, and Jeff is, like, obsessed. He's this fan. He loves it. He's talking about how he's seen the movie so many times. He seems like an odd duck.
Can we talk about the opening credits real quick? First of all, there's opening credits.
Yeah.
There's opening credits to a Blair Witch movie, which I find it very odd. Second of all, the people that made this movie put it in, the director did not want it when it was like the whole... This is a fictionalized version of
yes.
it.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's a fictionalized version of real events that happen.
Yeah.
Which is stupid.
Yeah. The Coen brothers, you ain't. Like, this is not some far.
The director
thing.
Did not want that. And rightfully so, it actually hurts this movie that he did do that. Because, A, going through this cast list, Jeffrey, who's played by Jeffrey... There's other characters, Tristan, well, you know, whatever, that we'll meet. They're all played by the same, like, their character.
Oh, it's even worse than that.
Yeah. Like,
okay. So here is, well, let's come back to this part.
Yeah.
In 1 second. So, but it puts up this disclaimer that this is a reenactment, or this is, like, based on these events.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I would have bought that more if it was, like, and this is something that, like, was it American Horror Story Roanoke did?
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I thought.
Where it was like, where you had the, it was supposedly like the reenactment and then the real people. Like, if they had done that.
The scary stories you see on, like, one of those cable channels.
Yes, if they had done that, I'd have been more like, okay, yeah. But they didn't, so. But yeah, that is just very awkward. I can understand why they would not have wanted that in. That it did just take you right out of it. But. Then we cut back to, like, Jeff, who we see loving the Blair Witch and, like, making stick men to sell. He had, like, a ponytail. Like, I don't know, that just is there and then it goes
and
away.
And then it disappeared,
like,
right?
Yeah, like, they changed his look, like, right after that. You get shots of him in a mental institution.
And I don't even know if that's before or after the initial aspects of this movie. Do you know what I mean?
It said it was... when he was out there saying he loved the movie, because he said, I was away for a little while.
Okay.
And then it said 1 year earlier.
Okay.
And all of a sudden it was no longer, like, videotaped. It was
it
so different.
It didn't matter. That part was stupid.
Yeah.
Because it made no sense. Because we never explained it.
You could have just said, I spent some time in an institution, or, like, somebody could have said something, and it would have been fine.
But I feel like the director actually did want that. And, like, the producers were like, no, put this in.
Yeah.
I feel like they really added a bunch of things that he was just like, that's not what I'm going for in this movie.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was one of them.
Yeah.
And in fact, I think I read that it was.
They spent way too much time on that.
Way too much and no reward from that.
No. No.
Okay, so Jeff is actually played by, what's his bucket? Jeff.
Yeah, so, well, Jeff ends up, all these people have these businesses. He owns a thing called the Blair Witch Hunt. It's a van. He has
right,
a van.
Right, but who's the actor playing him?
So, Jeff Donovan.
Jeff Donovan, yeah.
Plays Jeff Patterson.
Patterson.
Yeah. Jeffrey Donovan plays Jeffrey Patterson.
A.K.A. the guy from Burn Notice.
Yes, from Burn Notice. And Hitch.
Yeah, it's Hitch.
And many other things.
Yes.
But there's some other people on here, too. So there is a couple. The couple is, they are writers. They're putting together, they're writing a book about, right. like, hysteria versus, like, you know, is this hysteria? Is it, you know, myth? Is it, what is this exactly? Right. Truth, fiction? And so...
They're supposed to represent the, kind of the intel, like... Jeff's supposed to represent the entrepreneurship of
yes.
Of the Blair Witch, like people making money off of
yeah.
it. They're supposed to represent the intellectual like yeah. debate of is it real, is it not real?
Right.
I get that.
Yes.
Like I'm actually okay with that.
So and that's we first are introduced to Stephen Ryan Parker, played by Stephen Bacon Baker Turner. Stephen Barker Turner.
I think they just switched Stephen
Stephen Ryan Parker, played by Stephen Barker Turner. And Erica Gearson, played by Erica Learson.
Yes.
Not a joke.
Not a joke, people. Like, but go the Stephen thing?
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's, no, Tristan.
Tristan is her name.
Yeah, Stephen Barker Turner.
She plays the same name.
Well, Tristan, her character is Tristan Ryler.
But they,
who
I
is
don't think
played by... Tristine Schuyler. Oh, I was cracking up reading this.
I'm B-Rad, and this is Jeremy.
Jeremy? Okay.
I was too. But that's what I mean. Like, when they say that this is a, these are fictional accounts, these should be actors then playing the real people.
Yes.
You shouldn't be like, okay, when we're cast, like, imagine the casting director of that film if we're doing meta, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to get really into meta in this episode. So if you're casting that movie, not as the director, but as the yeah. director inside the director of the movie, you magically have found people with the same first name as the victims of the yes. original. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That's no.
I know.
That's why none of that makes sense.
So Jeffrey Donovan plays Jeffrey Patterson. Tristine Schuyler plays Tristan Ryler. And Stephen Barker Turner plays Stephen Ryan Parker, just yes. so we're all clear.
Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Now, out of the back seat, then that's when we meet Erica Gearson, played by Erica Learson.
That's my favorite.
You know?
She's a Wiccan, so she's supposed to represent
yeah,
the, like the witches and how the witches, like the Wiccan groups, have been misrepresented.
Yes,
about the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah,
and so you know,
so she is she sits up out of the back and she's just kind of talking about like I'm a Wiccan and just continues to talk about it forever.
Right.
She part Christian part. Christian and part Wiccan.
But you mean Quicken, which is a software application?
That's what it meant. So it does your taxes like magic.
It puts a spell on you after it does your taxes.
So they're driving along and they're talking about like this experience and like, you know, debating. They're debating the name of the book, whether it'll be like hysteria and this, or whether it's this and hysteria or whatever it was.
Why are they trying to name it after a Def Leppard album?
I don't know. But no, it's they one of them is the cynic and one of them is more open-minded.
Right. excuse me.
And so they said that, hey, we're getting ready to pick up our last person. She told us to pick her up here. They pull over at the Burkittsville Cemetery.
Yeah.
They want to pick her up here. So they go, and they're calling for Kim.
Kim.
Yes.
So Kim is played by...
Kim Diamond is played by Kim Director.
Okay, well.
And so I was like, I had to go look, because I'm like, wait a minute, is that a character unto itself? Like, are you also, Kim Director is also played by, no.
Kim Diamond?
So I was very confused. So yes, Kim Diamond's played by Kim Director.
You figured it'd be like Kim Ruby Diamond or something like that.
Should I go through the list again?
No, you can if you want.
Jeffrey Patterson.
So our main characters are.
Jeffrey Patterson, played by Jeffrey Donovan. Erica Gearson, played by Erica Learson. Higgins is Wiggins. Stephen Ryan Parker, played by Stephen Barker Turner. Kim Diamond, played by Kim Director. And Tristan Ryler, played by Tristine Schuyler. I'm your host, Jeremy Barrowy.
Oh, such a great Good Place reference. Okay. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Okay, so that's
nobody kind of
why,
the other
that's
characters.
Kind of why the first movie kind of hurts this movie.
Yeah.
But it also helps it in a way where it's like we have to be meta, but we don't have to be meta.
Yeah.
Like they don't quite know how to go around about doing it.
Yeah.
You know,
like I think if
like in a Wes Craven kind of way. Do you know what I mean? They can't do that for some reason. Go ahead.
I guess a lot of times when you see movies that have like rely heavily on improv or where people are really getting freaked out or you know, a lot of ad lib stuff with like Blair Witch,
right?
You use your people use the same first names because in the moment you don't always think of the character names.
And that's why Tony Danza always plays Tony.
You're right, because he's... I don't remember what the name is.
Everyone is so traumatic because they have to work with Tony Danza.
But here, it's goofy because there's nothing that really is ad-libbed.
Very
it's all
goofy.
Just,
there's nothing ad-libbed.
No.
Besides maybe, like, aspects of them on their filmed tapes that they have. But
yeah,
even
but
that,
even that, then you're not saying anything. So, yeah. So very awkward. So anyway... They pick Kim up. She's like the goth.
Right.
And so she's kind of the dark, brooding, death kind of obsessed.
So she's kind of like one of those people that kind of came into the Blair Witch. She represents those people that came into the Blair Witch that aren't witches, that kind of just took it on a life of its own and made it them their, you know.
Yeah.
This is ours, even though it's not yours, because it's witchy and not gothy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's nothing gothy about Blair Witch.
No. Can I also add that Kim is also psychic, which he makes sure to tell us very flatly.
Yes.
She's also psychic or something.
Yeah.
Super.
Or something.
So, they are... they drive on, they head for the ruins of Rustin Parr's house. So the house that they end up in the first Blair Witch
movie,
that's where they're heading, and they're going to camp there for the night. And of course, as they're heading on, it's important to note that Kim, as they're walking up, she tells, Tristan, she's like, oh, so you're pregnant. Like, how far along are you? How could she have known that? She goes, how'd you know that? And she goes, I don't know. And she goes, but you don't want to keep it. And Tristan goes, I don't know. But yeah, Tristan's pregnant. So, but Tristan doesn't want to keep the baby, essentially.
Is she really pregnant? Because I think the only thing she's pregnant with is her pregnant pauses in this movie when she's acting. Like, she has like a lot of lines. You're like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. She like.
That's why she's my least favorite actress in this movie. No, she's my second.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. She is kind of like. There's certain aspects of her performance I like. There's one I strongly dislike.
Yeah.
Because I feel there's no real other purpose
that's
to
true.
It. So anyway, but So they go to Rustin Parr's house. Jeff has cameras set up because he wants to catch the witch in action. And like get video of her. So they're there, they're doing their thing.
Jeff, that worked so well to begin with.
Yeah, Erica, who's the Wiccan. Who reveals that she's the daughter of an Episcopal minister who basically wrote her off.
Right.
She is trying to commune with nature because she said Hattie, whatever, the ghost, the Blair Witch, is actually like an earth child. And she was misunderstood that the people tortured her and it was for no reason. Like, so she's trying to learn from the witch. And so she's like, you know, summoning her, like speaking to her, communing with her, essentially. So she's doing that. And while they're doing this, Jeff was like, what the hell? Like, where'd that tree come from? There's just a giant tree in the middle of the house. And he's like, that, you know, that shouldn't be there. He's like, how would this tree have been here? This tree is hundreds and hundreds of years old. Why would they have built a house around it? They said, I don't know. You know, that's very weird. He's like, you know, it doesn't make sense. And they all kind of laugh it off. Except he's pretty unnerved by it.
Yeah, well, you know. And then we get a shot of, like, ooh, the creepy tree.
Yeah, creepy tree with bricks around it. So they start drinking.
But at least, like, a lot of the camera work wasn't shaky. Like, hey, no. We're trying to be shaky about it. Like, at least this director was trying to do something different than make a carbon copy of the first movie.
Yeah. The interesting thing is it flips back and forth between aspects of that. Like, you get the documentary piece, and then you get the filmed piece. And I'm okay with that. Like, I also, like, found footage things. A lot of times I'm like, oh, Jesus. Like, it gets to me after a while.
Well, because it's been used so many times.
Well, yeah. And, like, the whole, like, shaky cam and like TV and movies is one thing, but like when I'm watching a faux documentary thing and the camera's like all over the place constantly, like,
yeah,
totally, like, you know, just shaking all over so you can never get a clear shot of anything, that drives me nuts after a bit. And so this movie, like, switching back and forth, I was all right with that because I didn't need too much of it for too long.
Yeah.
So they're partying, they're drinking, they're getting high. But they're out there having fun and, like, they're talking and just sharing info. And, like, this is really a chance for them to do a lot of expository dialogue with, like, between Tristan and Steven, basically talking about their differences as far as how the what they believe. Kim and Erica go back and forth. Jeff talking. Like, there's just a lot of it that it gives us some good expository dialogue in here that actually I thought was all right, that helps build it up. But while they're there, you hear these sounds. Sounds like crying.
Yeah, I hear it.
It sounds like crying, which simultaneously sounds like our cat. Get out of here. So you hear this crying, and all of a sudden, people show up. And they start freaking out at each other. Well, it's another tour group. They're doing a Blair Witch thing of their own. And they are saying, you can't be here in these ruins. We have jurisdiction. And they're going back and forth saying, no, you don't. Bullshit. And he's like, we have permits. Well, show them to me. They're back in the car. Mm-hmm. Well, tough shit. And so Steven's like, you're right. Like, you know. You know, just if you could just let us stay here also for the night. You know, we had a few drinks. We're tired. We just want to stay here. You know, we want to get out of here anyway because we really saw some creepy stuff over at Coffin Rock. And the rest of the group kind of plays along and says, oh, yeah, Coffin Rock, I'm so scared. Like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Them. Crazy. Go there.
Yeah. And so the tourists who are with them are like, yeah. Oh, no, I want to go to Coffin Rock. And so the other group heads over to Coffin Rock to stay then.
No, are you thinking there should be Japanese tourists in there? You are correct.
They're Chinese tourists.
Oh, they're Chinese? Yep. I thought they were Japanese. Really? Chinese. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be...
At least according to this, they were Chinese.
Oh, really? No, I think they were Chinese. And then there was one German.
One German. Yeah. One lone German.
One lone German.
Speaking German.
Who are you speaking German to?
To nobody.
No one knows what you're saying, Fräulein.
Who's like, I didn't come from Dusseldorf to blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so. The group heads off, and they're like, ah, okay. So they keep drinking and smoking, and, Tristan's hitting the booze pretty hard. Steven's asking her to stop, and she's like, it's fine, whatever.
Wait, Tristan? I think you called her by the actress name.
Tristine?
Not the character name.
Tristine?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay.
And I think you called Jeff by the actor name and not the character name. What's Jeff? Who's Jeff play?
Jeff.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. So we get this, we see them parting, and eventually it kind of cuts out. We see in the morning, we see Tristan. Yeah,
they black out.
Yeah.
Kind of in a way.
We see Tristan walking to the river, and, she has, like, towels in her arms, and she just walks right into the river in her clothing, and she pushes the towels down, and all of a sudden, like, blood starts bubbling up. And you see, like, the bundle of towels, as it's sinking, you can see kind of baby's legs in there. And she wakes up, and she just had a dream about herself killing the baby.
Right.
And so it cuts to Jeff and Kim and Erica, who are all kind of like laying outside, and there are just pieces of paper just raining down.
Yeah, it seems at first odd. Like, I'm like, is it snowing? But then I realize those are big flakes.
Yeah,
so there's pieces of paper.
I don't get where they're coming from for so long. Like,
very much true, because later on, I don't know why they keep blowing around. Later on, we find out what goes on.
Because the pieces are not blowing down. They are clearly raining down on
them. They're raining
of them.
Down on them. But, like, if all this happened overnight, why are they still doing that?
Yeah.
It's called effect, Jeremy.
It was really weird to me.
There's a lot that kind of gets missed.
And, like, these documents, I can tell, they were like, run these through a shredder.
Right.
Because they're
not like tear.
Yeah, they're not like torn. Shredded. They are like shredded to like confetti.
Right.
Because that's what's falling. And so they're like, oh no.
Right.
All of our stuff. So that's Tristan and Steven's work. And they are shredded. And she's like, well, we backed stuff up on the computer.
And let's come back to that, because we will talk about that when we realize what happens later on. But go ahead. Keep going.
They're like, that's our work.
Yeah.
She's like, well, it's backed up on the computer at home. He goes, well, no.
He's like, so there's some original notes. Documents.
Yeah, there was we had original documents that you can't replace those. All of Jeff's cameras are destroyed. They are just smashed.
So all of his cameras and all the tapes from the cameras are gone. All of them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Remember that too.
Yeah. And so they're trying to figure out what happened, and they're like, you know, hey, you know, we were supposed to stay awake all night. What the hell? And then they're like, it's those guys from back over wherever. I bet they came back and they messed with us. And Kim is the one who's like, no, it's something worse than that, I think. And so then she goes, she all of a sudden gets a psychic kind of impression that the tapes are still nearby.
Right.
And so she leads them back to where the tapes are. And they're like, you mean where the...
They're under these rocks.
Yeah. Where the other film crew stuff was found.
Yeah.
And so they're like, oh, please, whatever. So he reaches in there, and all the tapes are down in there. So, of course, then they're wondering how Kim knew that. And she just says she doesn't know.
She just knows it.
Yeah, she just feels it. So, so instead they're like, well, hey, we can get these back to my place, check out the tapes. Fine. And then Tristan, they're like, are you okay? Because she was talking about how she felt cold and everything. They're like, are you okay? and she has her hand over her mouth, and as she moves it away, there's blood on her face. Mm-hmm. Well, they realize she's miscarrying, and so she's bleeding. So they run her to the hospital, and they're trying to stay there with her. Something has happened. And so while she's in the hospital bed, she's lost a lot of blood. And they're like, well, you know, you need to get healthy again. You need to whatever. While she's there, she sees a young girl, some pale little girl, walking backwards.
Oh, okay.
So, which is creepy. It's obviously it's somebody dead. So, after they get her out of there, they're like, well, this is no place for you to, like, we need to do something. You need to rest. So they all head back to Jeff's place.
Because that seems like the logical thing that you would do after you miscarry. Go back to Jeff's place.
Well, she needed to, because otherwise they had to fly her home. And,
oh, is that what it was? They had to fly her home? But at least go somewhere where you can relax, not Jeff's place. Well,
you know, they also lost all their stuff, you know.
That's true.
And they want to check out the tapes, and he's still got to write something.
Okay.
So he lives in an abandoned broom factory that's basically up against this hill in the woods. And it's kind of interesting. Yes, they make sure to call out that...
I love that they call it an abandoned broom factory. Aren't most factories that make brooms abandoned? I'm just saying.
I think S.C. Johnson would differ. So it's an old abandoned broom factory. They were going to tear it down, but they ended up selling it to him for $1. Just so they could get it off their hands, not have to pay
Best
for...
Best investment ever.
Well, they don't have to pay for the destruction.
Includes that cold drink, a vending machine.
Yes. Cold Perfect. Drinks. Obviously, he also... He's selling a lot of stuff. Like, he has a bunch of equipment, whatever. Obviously, a lot of hot stuff.
Yeah.
That he says that he sells on eBay. You know, nobody's the wiser that it's hot. And so, he's just got a bunch of stuff there. There's one bridge that's you can get in or out of the place with.
Yeah.
and it's rickety, obviously. So, he's like, careful. Don't touch the rails. Because they'll fall off. They can fix them, but, you know, whatever. Teach their own, I suppose. And then when you open the door, there's, like, speakers that, you know, project dogs barking.
Right. You have enough money to do that, but not to fix your little bridge.
Yeah.
Come on, Jeff.
So inside, also, he has a lot of, like, security cameras wired all over the place.
Again, you have enough money for that, but the bridge? No, second thought.
All that's stolen, though.
Yeah.
Probably. But you know, I feel like there was an aspect of this too where they were going to use like a lot of like blend. This is how you would blend kind of some found or some
right,
you know, live footage with the other stuff. But I also feel like that just fell short. So they get inside. Tristan, they get her resting, and the group then is going to review the footage that was recorded the night before. So while they're doing it, they find just kind of some visual anomalies. So, like, you have where there's some flickering in there, in the footage, there's some flickering in some other things.
And what's her face? Looks like she has a rash on her.
Yeah, well, they find out there's, when they're doing the footage, they're like, wait a minute, like, Steven's like, is that Coffin Rock? He thinks he sees, like, a shot of, like, the old... Like,
every time you think that, every time you say that, I'm like, yeah, that Coffin Rocks.
Coffin Rock.
Coffin Rocks. Whoa.
So they see Coffin Rock.
Is that the coffin you're going to get when you die? The Coffin Rocks.
Which I think is the new Rolling Stones tour. Coffin Rock. He sees it and he's like, that's like the old drawing of it or whatever.
Yeah.
Or he thinks it is. And they see like a couple flashes that maybe look like people or like they're not sure what they're seeing. And so they see these flashes, what they think almost looks like a person. They're like, well, let me figure it out. Let me, you know, doctor it up and see what the anomaly is. Also in the footage, the giant tree that they saw, now you can see it's just a sapling. So it's just like a little tree that you see kind of disturbance around. So they slow down the footage. And it's Erica.
Yeah.
And she's naked and swinging around,
around a pole or a tree or something.
Yeah. It, the tree, the sapling, which in when they were there was that giant tree. So Erica's like, that can't be me. That is not me. And they're like, well, obviously it is. That's so weird. She's moving backwards through, you know, around this tree because she's spinning backwards. So she is like, I have no memory of that. And she goes into the other room, like praying about it to make this stop. Kim follows her, is basically trying to console her and talk to her. Erica says, or like earlier, Kim points out that she has like a rash on her shoulder, and she's like, ah, it's nothing. Well, as time goes on, it becomes more defined, and you start seeing like symbols. Erica says it is like witch's alphabet, and the symbols are not only on her, but they're appearing on everybody else too. Like they all have these like Wiccan symbols on them. And she says the group has been marked for death. It's representative of being touched by a witch.
Yeah.
By a black witch.
Jeremy.
Like a dark witch.
Oh, okay.
Jeez. So, later on, so they're trying to figure out with the video and seeing everything. And Jeff, we keep seeing Jeff, like, watching other people doing things throughout the, on the film. So we see him watching all these things.
Can we say that also in between a lot of these scenes, we get cross cuts of them, of certain characters being interrogated by the police? Is that what's going on by now?
Yeah. And so, like, we keep seeing Jeff getting interrogated by the sheriff and then by some sort of other agent.
Yeah.
And they were like, why is this blood in your van? He was like, she had a miscarriage.
Right.
And, like, you keep seeing that, why was there blood in your van? And then it cuts to the scenes.
And it keeps kind of going say, more and more.
Why was there blood in your van? And then he says, she had a miscarriage. And I think, then we start getting Steve in there. So we know Steven's, you know.
Alive.
And so he's crying and freaking out. And they're talking to him, but you don't know what's happening yet.
But that is important to say.
Yeah. So, Kim borrows Jeff's van. She's like, I gotta go get some
beer.
I gotta get some beer and some coffee or something. And so she heads out. Now, everybody else, too, they're all kind of having, like, visions or hearing weird things. Jeff keeps seeing visions of his time, like, in the mental hospital.
Right.
They're getting flashes of other things that they're like, what?
They keep noticing that each one of them have, like, markings on.
Yeah. So Kim, Kim heads to the store.
Yeah, the general store, whatever.
So at the country store, when they get in there, so they were there previously, and obviously there was a bunch of, she calls out that they're a bunch of rednecks or inbred or whatever she says about them. But she's there again, and some lady starts hitting her with her cart and is like, witch. And you see people, like other guys, like on the porch, just were kind of like,
yeah,
hey,
hey, Elvira.
Yeah, I got something you can suck the blood out of. And so she goes and she gets a beer, and she's trying to check out.
Yeah, she's being harassed by the person, the checker.
Yeah, the cashier, Peggy. And so Peggy won't sell the beer to her. And she's like, fine. She's like, Peggy, can I speak with the manager? I am the manager. And she's like, okay then, Peggy. She's like, The dumb bitch who is your cashier won't sell me the beer. And she's like, all right, you need to get out. And you see her turn on their security camera. Yeah. And she was like, no. She's like, I don't think so. And so she throws her money at her and just walks out with the beer. And on the way home, she's driving in the van, and somebody busts out the back window. And she's like, what the hell? And it's those rednecks from the porch. They're throwing rocks at her car. Busted out the back window. And she's like, what the hell? So she starts driving off. And when she's driving, she almost hits a bunch of kids. Obviously, they're like a bunch of ghostly little kids in the road. She swerves off and hits a pole. So she hits the pole, and she dents the fender a little bit. And so she's like, ugh. So she sees the kids are gone, so she's like, all right, I'm out of here. Heads back to Jeff's place. So at Jeff's place, she takes the beer. She's trying to get him out of there, and she stabs herself in the finger. And she's like, ah. And she's trying to figure out what happened in there. Well, she sees in there, there's a bloody nail file. Same kind of nail file that Peggy was using earlier. Yeah. So she's like, well, that's really weird. So she just kind of takes it out and doesn't think much of it and takes the beer and goes. Also, there's this weird bit where, like, Steven, he's stressed, obviously, and Erica comes up, starts rubbing his shoulders and rubbing his back.
Yeah.
And very then odd. Starts, like, kissing his neck, and they start, they're about ready to screw. And he's, like, says something about the marks on his body, and she's like, I have the marks, too. And, like, slashes his stomach or his, like, chest, and, like, is bleeding everywhere. And then they, like, wake up, and they're both at the table. And clearly they both had the same dream, though, because they both kind of look like, what did we do?
Yeah.
So once they come back in, the following morning, they're like, hey, we got to get her out of here. Something's wrong with Tristan. You know, we just need to get running. So Jeff looks outside, and the van is just, like, entirely caved in. Like, it wasn't a little fender thing. Like, the van is destroyed. And she's like, no, like, that wasn't what happened. The fender was dented. There's no way. And so they're like, wait a minute. Like, where's Erica? Because they just saw Erica go upstairs.
Yeah.
Towards
where Jeff was.
Yeah. And so they're like, where the hell is she? So they look around. They're trying to figure it out. They realize that her clothing is on the floor, surrounded by, like, in her like, little prayer circle thing. So her clothes just laid out just like she vanished. So they're like, I don't know what the hell's going on, but we got to figure this out. So let's see if she called anybody. So they try to contact her father at his office, the Episcopalian minister.
Right, the minister.
Yeah, and so the secretary is like, well, they don't have any children. She's like, look, I know that they disowned her for being a Wiccan, but... You know, like, we have to talk to her.
Now, can I say, like, all this is going on, and all this is kind of like, I keep having questions.
Yeah.
But I'm not questioning the movie. I'm questioning what's going on.
Yeah.
Which is almost a fun thing to do.
Yes.
A fine thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay, I'm in it. Now yeah. I'm in it, and I'm kind of, I'm not necessarily enjoying it, but I'm understanding maybe the cult aspect of this movie a little bit better.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay. I can get behind it a little bit more than, say, the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So they said, no, the minister and his wife never had any children.
Right.
So, like, well, who is she? They don't know. So, like, oh, man, she's been lying to us.
Yeah, so we're trying to figure stuff out in our heads, like, what's going on?
Also, like, I can't remember where it was. I think we may have passed it already, but, like, they're looking for something, and or maybe it's coming up with the files.
That's coming up.
Okay. So, like, I don't know what the hell's happening here. So, meanwhile, Tristan is getting creepier and weirder and just generally freaky. The county sheriff calls Jeff and says, hey, are you watching the news? And he's like, no, I'm trying to work on this video. Like, we're seeing something here. I'm trying to figure this out. And he's like, no, no, you should turn on the TV and look. And so they turn it on, And they realized all those other campers from the other tour group
right.
were all disemboweled at Coffin Rock and like arranged like the original Coffin Rock.
Like in a pentagram.
Yeah, in the shape of a pentagram. So everybody starts freaking out. They're like, what the hell is going on? And then they see Erica outside. She's spinning around a tree again like she was before. Steven goes to confront her and goes to talk to her, and she is standing across the way, and as he goes towards her, she's walking backwards across the bridge, and then the bridge collapses, and he almost falls, and he's like, Tristan, you know, get me help. I can't get myself pulled up.
Yeah.
And she just kind of looks at him and is like, like really weird, and kind of walks away.
I like Triscuits. I'm Triscuit.
Yeah, she reminds me of Claire Danes in My So-Called Life, where she's just like always rolling her eyes and like walking away from stuff.
Yeah, like walking away from the scene, like, and not like
what are you doing?
And not adding much to the plot.
Yeah, like if you were gonna act erratic, but like it just seemed it was kinda like a ho hum. I'm crazy. Ho hum.
Ho hum, here's my voiceover.
Yeah, ho-hum. Jordan Catalano, ho-hum. So she walks away. Jeff and Kim go and pull him to safety, and he's freaked out. So they're like, all right, we need to figure out what's going on. So they're going, Kim asks for something. He's like, it's in the desk drawer. You get it in the desk drawer. And so she's going through the drawer. She wanted the phone book.
She wanted the phone book. And then that's where they found the phone.
Call a way to get out of there. And so they're like, he's like, it's in the drawer. She pulls the phone book out of the drawer. And as she's going through it, there's a set of surveillance dossiers for like all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, like pictures going back to their childhoods. I mean, there's tons of stuff in there. She's like, what the hell is this? And Jeff says, I have no clue what this is. And so he's freaking out. And he's, oh, my God. And so he's, like, trying to, I think that's when he hears the sheriff yelling from outside. And he runs over to, because he thinks the sheriff is doing something. He heads out there. And he walks out and there are...
He thinks there's dogs.
Well, he opens the door and there's dogs across
the thing.
Oh, right.
That's what it
was. Barking. It's not just the audio. So he's like, oh my God. So he closes it.
Yeah. So there's a lot of psychological things happening to these people.
Yeah. So he goes, oh my God. So he closes the door, opens this closet, gets a shotgun, and starts heading back to the door. And then they're gone. But as he does that, then they realize that Erica is standing in the corner, like in the Blair Witch
right.
kind of thing. So they're like, oh my God. So, so he goes to talk to her. As he turns her around, she's dead. So Erica's dead, and she's been propped up in this closet.
Thank God.
Yeah.
I mean, sure.
Thank Gaia.
So at least we might not know what's going on, but we do know that there is some sort of psychological thing or some hysteria going on, and that adds a little heightenedness to this movie.
Yes. Agreed. So now, so actually, I think we come to the thing that I take away most from this movie.
Go ahead.
So now Tristan is back being weird.
Being
again.
Weird, running
so
around,
she's,
doing whatever.
She's crazy, and she says, she goes, they walk backwards. They walk backwards. They walk Widdershins.
Yes.
They walk backwards, and then start saying things backwards. And they're like, what? And then Kim's like, oh, maybe she means play the tapes backwards. Because in the video, and it's kind of an interesting thing. I was like, yeah, I didn't catch that the first time. Like, she's how she goes backwards around the tree.
Yes,
you
see
everything move backwards.
Yeah.
That maybe there's, like, a different, like, way of thinking about it. So, like, they play it backwards. And then there you see, like, an underlying layer of footage. The thing I took away was... the word Widdershins. which means backwards. It's like saying cattywampus, meaning or catty corner, things like that. You have this, it's just an old term for backwards.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, Widdershins.
Okay.
So I thought that was interesting. Or counterclockwise.
Widdershins? Counterclockwise, but Widdershins?
Yeah, Widdershins is counterclockwise.
That sounds like more like a grocery store.
Widdershins?
Yeah.
Come on down to Widdershins.
Get your beer at Widdershins, and if Peggy is annoying you, just throw money at her.
You pay for your food first and go pick it up afterwards. You do it all Widdershins. Stay for the beer, but... Come for the beer, but stay for the stabbing.
Stay for the stabbing.
So they find the footage. They realize, okay, here's us partying it up, and you see them just partying like normal. But then all of a sudden,
so you're saying, but parts of this work and parts of it don't. What you're about to say. Go ahead.
So they're partying, but then you see them tearing up the papers.
The papers.
Yeah. And you see, basically they start almost getting like into like satanic ritual.
Right.
And start stripping off their clothes. They start like freaking out. They're just like having sex with each other. That's just turning into this like satanic orgy kind of a thing. And Tristan is the one who is like kind of making all of that happen. She's directing all of them. She's like standing up above them all, like she's kind of like their queen. And so you see them all, like, eventually they start like taking out knives,
right,
and doing all these weird like things with the knives. And then you see the four or the five of them run off into the woods.
Yes.
And Tristan is standing there like screaming and like, you know, directing them to go out, but they run off. And so now, so you said some of this works and some doesn't.
Okay. So they go, keep going. Cause we haven't got to the part that I think doesn't work. Okay. But keep going.
So they're like, what the shit is happening? So they go to confront Tristan at this point. And she,
but don't they see the other video? They go to the other camp and then they,
they don't show that.
They don't show that yet?
No. Well, and you see him, like, little glimpse of him, like, smashing some of the cameras and stuff like that. But there's also, like, obviously somebody's filming Tristan and the five of them doing things. Who is filming that? It's awkward.
Who's
filming all this?
Correct. Like, that's why I say it doesn't work.
Yeah.
There's some other things that don't, but keep going. Yeah.
So at this point, they start confronting her. And she's like pleading with them, like, no, you know, this isn't happening. And then also is like taunting them at the same time. Like she's flipping back and forth and walks up like the spiral staircase and is on this over like this top, like a loft piece. So Jeff goes, holy shit, she's got the witch in her, you know, she's possessed. And so he grabs his handheld camera while he heads up there. And so they're trying to talk with her and trying to get her to admit that she killed Erica. And then Steven accuses Tristan of killing their baby on purpose. And so they're following her. And she's just being like, you kind of get the sense that, holy shit, she's the witch.
Or basically, she's possessed by something.
Yeah.
Or whatever, so, or whatnot.
So she's... ties a rope around her neck and she's like, is this what you want? You know, cinches it down and everything, and she starts daring Steven to push her, and he's like, no, and she's, you know, taunting him and goading him, and finally he pushes her and she swings back and breaks her neck then, because he hangs her.
Yeah.
So now we cut to the police saying that they've arrested Jeff, Steven, and Kim.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
For a series of like spree killings.
Spree killings.
Yeah. And so
including the other camp.
Yeah, and so they're going through and they're saying, okay, you know, they were Blair Witch obsessed people,
right?
And they said, you know, the five of them were doing these things.
The violence that abstained from the first movie carried over, and they're imitating you know, they're being influenced by this violence.
And so they show things like, they show Jeff video taken from his house of him killing Erica and then propping her up in the closet. And then you see him like look at the camera.
Like, that didn't happen. And he's like,
that didn't happen at all. That didn't happen.
They show Eric.
And they show Kim in the convenience store, the part where she is mouthing off to Peggy. And then Peggy, like where we saw her flick the money at Peggy. Instead, we see Kim grab the nail file and stab her in the neck a bunch of times.
Right.
And then take off with the beer. We see the footage that Jeff shot, and it's them being like, and it almost sounds like they're drugged up.
Yeah.
They're like, no, she's the witch. Like, they don't sound like themselves.
Yeah.
And all you hear is Tristan like begging for her life, and you know, they wrap the rope around her neck and hang her.
Right.
While she pleads the whole time.
They also show to the audience them beheading the other people.
Yeah, at Coffin Rock.
They show him. They show them. This is where it doesn't work for me. They also show them, or at least, what's her bucket? The psychic girl. Can't think of her name. Kim?
Yeah.
Putting the videotapes under the rock. But why? Who's filming that? If you put all the videotapes in there, there's no videotapes to film that.
Yeah. Well, and I think the Coffin Rock thing, I took the Coffin Rock and that part as them just like, wait a minute, and kind of like in their heads that it was playing.
Oh, okay.
That they were like kind of almost piecing it together or remembering coming out of like a haze.
So that wasn't necessarily the cop seeing that. That was them piecing it
together. It was hard to decipher.
That's where it kind of doesn't. It kind of blurs the line a little bit. I get what the director was doing.
Yes.
But it almost is kind of confusing.
Yeah, it was.
And so it doesn't quite work.
Yeah, so it was odd. So,
but again, who's filming that? But logically wise, there would be no camera to film that. There would be no tape to film any of that.
Right. And so, yeah, it's odd. But I get the psychological piece of it. And I guess the thing that I ask myself is, so do I think that the witch is just messing with all these things, or do I think each of them, like, they were in kind of a haze?
Right. That's where the viewer has to decide. So they end up getting arrested and basically that's the end of the movie, right? They just kind of get arrested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then then they're talking. It's just the end of the newscast saying, like...
Yeah, that's the end of the newscast, yeah.
Yeah.
So you've been deuced, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, that's the thing. It's like, do we know what's going on? Is it the hysteria? Is it not? Is it the witch or not? Parts of that work, parts of that don't.
Yeah.
For me. But yep. There's a lot that's been said about this movie that is terrible. A lot of people, I think, were hoping that it was going to be another Blair Witch.
Yeah.
Found footage, whatever. So a lot of people, I think, dogged on this movie.
Yeah.
I think some of it is worth dogging on, and some of it's not. I think it gets dogged on too much.
Right, I agree.
So having said that, when I'm reading these reviews, I'm only going to read one review, because I think actually this review says it right.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I'm not going to read a negative review, because there's been so many of them.
Yeah.
So this person is Charleston Knoll, and they gave it a 4 out of 10. I said, a lot of potential, ultimately a letdown. This first Blair Witch was both a phenomenon commercially and creatively. I can't talk today. Book of Shadows had the same potential, but it was ultimately was a letdown by its high aspirations. The director could not decide if it wanted to make a straight documentary or a straight movie. In my eyes, the combination of the two cost this movie. The choppy editing had a huge factor in this as well. if only the first hour had been carefully assembled as the last half hour, this would have been a true masterpiece. All of this is not a bad movie, but it's worth viewing, just not multiple times. Bottom line, good story, poor execution. I kind of agree with that.
I do too.
I agree with all of that, actually.
Yep. You know, and
a lot of like what he was saying, the director didn't have any hearsay. It was like it was the studio saying we want that in there.
Yeah.
And he's like, ugh, okay.
Can I tell you this movie as I watched it? So when I originally saw it, I was like,
dreading this movie.
I was like, oh god. Now that I've had some time and I've seen some other things that have come out between here and there, I'm just like, okay, I can see aspects of this movie in others.
Me too.
Also. I think I'm just like Brian Fuller Ryan Murphy.
Ryan Murphy.
You.
Wrong gay. It's okay. You got the wrong gay.
I always get those two confused. Ryan Murphy. I'm like, dude, this just feels like a season of American Horror Story crushed into an hour and a half.
Agreed. I feel like this was Roanoke.
Also, I was, well, okay. So here's what I thought. It's got Murder House parts
correct.
To it. It's got Coven.
Yes.
It's got Roanoke.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got all these aspects to it where I'm like, holy shit, did you just like...
A little bit of Hotel, but not really.
Yeah,
but
he watches this and just like... he watches this and just comes up with new seasons. What if this time we went by this? So like, I get this very like... I saw aspects of this where I'm like, oh my god, like you built a whole series around different aspects in this movie. I think there was a lot of potential here.
There's like, a ton of potential here.
If they would have, so I keep thinking, if I would have seen this movie, except they
I
would
know
have,
what you're saying, go ahead.
Except they would have stretched it out over an entire season and heightened the suspense and the psychological pieces. I would, shit, FX would pick that up.
Actually,
and I would have watched that.
I think what does this movie injustice is the fact that it is a Blair Witch movie.
Yeah.
I think this is a better horror movie than a Blair Witch movie.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I think that
it's
this
more
is...
more horror than suspense.
Right. Like, yeah. I think this is more... I think it just gets wasted because it has to appeal to the aspect of the first movie.
Yeah.
And so that becomes a downfall. But the meta-ness of the first movie helps this movie. Do
yes.
you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I also, it's really weird. It takes me out of it because
it
of
does
how
take
meta
me out
it
of
was.
It.
I'm like,
yeah.
Because now we're in this like recursive loop of like, you know, Blair Witch. Is it real? Is it not?
But,
it's
but
whatever.
Like, let's take the Blair Witch part out. Let's just make it a horror movie.
Yeah.
Let's just make it a straight horror movie that has nothing to do with the Blair Witch.
Yeah.
I think this could have worked.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean? But I think it's tainted with the fact that it was the sequel to such a phenomenon.
And so this
I think this could have been a horror movie that could have changed something.
Yeah, to me this is the opposite of American Psycho 2, where they took a shitty movie
I agree.
And tried to build
That's
it
what
up
I was thinking
off
too.
That. And have it survive. I think they were like, here's a movie, let's tack it to the Blair Witch 2, except it doesn't work because the Blair Witch, like, I think attaching it to that brought it down instead of elevating
we're
it.
We're also not talking about the aspect of that there are hidden messages inside this movie that I guess are supposed to be that you can witness over and over if you watch it. I like that aspect of it.
Yeah.
I don't exactly know what those mysteries are. I know I saw like cut footage from it where Tristan is walking around the bed and there's lockers in the background and all the locks are nothing. And then she crosses the locks and then they change into a whole hexagon.
Yeah.
Like, I love that.
Yeah.
But I feel like I kind of need to like watch this again in order to do that. And I really don't want to.
yeah, no, like, I couldn't watch this one over and over.
No.
But, like, I don't hate it.
I don't hate it.
I actually, time has given me better perspective on this movie. Agreed. And I enjoy it a lot more than I did upon first watching. Like, I enjoy it more now than I did when I was younger.
I still think it's a bad sequel, but I think it's not a terrible movie.
It's an okay horror movie. It's just,
in terms of sequel.
It's exactly what that person was saying. Yep. All right, let's do our five questions.
So, what do you think was the best part of this movie?
Here's the thing about my best part of this movie. Actually, is kind of going to be a little bit difficult to I'm trying to say it correctly. The best part of this movie, I believe, is what the director actually wanted to do was have each one of these characters represent part of the phenomenon of the first movie and how they are connected that way through Jeff being the entrepreneur and so on and so on, and them being the intellects. I like that aspect of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I like that, and I like what it is trying to say as far as, like, the hysteria of the movie, the hysteria of itself, and what it brings to the ecstaticness of horror.
Yes.
Of a horror movie. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like it. That's my favorite part of the movie. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And not necessarily the movie itself.
Yes.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
I think it does.
I'm having a hard time explaining
the potentiality of it.
Yes, the potentiality of it.
Yeah. So I think the thing that I think the best part, the best part is it's hard for me to say. Like, there's it's all fairly kind of middle of the road for me.
Yeah.
You know what? Okay, so one thing I normally don't like, but in this movie it oddly works for me, is there is so many freaking open-ended questions. The whole, like, Erica's family doesn't know her, or the whole, like, where those files come from, or whatever. Like, normally I'd be like, this is the most sloppily written crap, but because it's so psychological, like, when it was done, I was thinking, is it the witch? Are they really nuts? Like, were they taken over by a spirit? Is just this just hysteria?
Hysteria? Is it drugs?
Is it reefer madness?
Is it
whatever?
What is it?
Is she really screaming and begging for her life? Or are we seeing the witch playing this trick? Like, it's interesting to me. Like, throughout the whole thing, I never quite know what's real and what's not. And, like, there's times when he sees something, and then it cuts back to a picture of him in the psych ward and back, and I kept thinking, well, is this whole thing just...
Right, I did that too.
Him
for a
in
second.
The psych ward?
Is it him in the psych ward? Is it not? Like, yeah. I did that too.
Or is this whole thing dreamt up because we see him as this kind of nerdy guy who's like, I went and I saw the movie 17 times after this came out.
And the
out.
Reason why I don't think just... it is because the other characters are kind of like, I don't know. Like, I just don't feel like that's where it was headed down.
No, right. But, probably but not. I get, I but get at the like... same time, like, I'm going, it makes me really question what is real and what is not. And all those open-ended, like, you know, they have all these loose ends that normally would drive me nuts. And for some reason in this, it really works for me, though.
For me, too. I think that's what the horror is. It's kind of like the whole idea of The Exorcist, how The Exorcist was actually real.
Yeah.
The fact that, like, you could possibly get this hysteria into a group of friends.
Yeah.
To, like, something bad could happen.
Yeah.
Is actually the horror in itself.
Yes. Okay. So, would you reboot, continue, or cancel?
This is actually what I would do. Unlike what you said, I actually would put this, like, I'd do an anthology series of it, but more like a Tales from the Crypt kind of thing.
Okay.
So, you know, Blair Witch, blah, 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 stories of the unknown, or whatever. Yeah. Like a Time Life kind of.
Yeah.
Mysteries of the unknown kind of thing.
Yeah.
But other than that, I would cancel. Because I'm kind of like, I'm done with it.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if I did, I think I would like to have, like, other kind of weird stories.
Yeah, yeah.
That aren't necessarily like, hey, it's a docudrama or a fake documentary.
Well, I could see, like, maybe instead of having, like, different seasons about different whatever, like, I could almost see it being almost like a Fargo anthology, like the Fargo series, where it's the region, like, you could have the region around Burkittsville, but have it just focus on
that, like, call it whatever county that they're in.
Right, that's what
and
I mean.
And just say, like, you could have tales of, like, one of them is around the Blair Witch and, like, of the original story of what happened to her. And then the next one is about, you know, something else, like a guy who was a
right.
killer. Or
but
like
I don't
whatever.
Want those to be season long. I just want those to be episodes that then maybe kind of connect.
I would maybe just put them in, like, 3-episode arcs or something like
right,
that.
Right, something like that.
Or, like, each, or maybe the, each one is an hour long or hour and a half long and just compress it into whatever. Right. So, but no, I think that I would have it go in that way. But other than that, like, I'm with you. Like, we didn't need to this reboot cool where it's kind of a reboot, kind of a sequel thing. I'm just kind of like, what was the point? But I really haven't seen
and we haven't seen it, so we can't really judge that.
I'm going to guess what was the point is the correct answer. But we'll see.
I haven't heard a lot of people talk about it, so.
Do you think this movie stands on its own?
No.
I don't either.
At all.
Nope. I think it could, except that you cram
so
much
of
the
mythology. It could, like I said, if you take the Blair Witch out of it, it could.
Yeah.
And just make it a straight horror movie.
But man, they really are shoehorning it into it.
Yeah.
So, does it make you want to watch the first one? Or would it make you want to watch the first one?
Surprisingly, it does.
Yeah.
It actually makes me want to watch the first one.
Yeah.
And I think it's because it's so different from the first one that actually makes me want to go back and go, okay, let me, I only watched that maybe twice.
Yeah.
I wasn't one of those people that watched it over and over again. I only watched it like a couple times. I think it's been long enough that I could probably go back and watch it. I think this movie, just because of the...
What's it been, 20 years?
The meta of it, I think that it kind of, it makes me nostalgia for it.
Yeah. I think if I was watching this for the first time and hadn't seen the first one, I think it would make me want to watch it probably.
Yeah. If you're saying that,
I think it would make me want to watch it. 'Cause I'd be like, what the hell?
Yeah. I'd have questions.
Although I think if I was watching it in this way, I think I'd be disappointed in the first one.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm disappointed in the first one in general, but
you
like,
are, I'm not,
but I think I'd be disappointed 'cause I'd be like, oh, 'cause it seems like. I would expect, like, consistency in genre or filming style, and it just isn't there. And it'd be from this, like, production thing where all this stuff goes on to just people snot bubbling into the camera.
Okay,
so.
Okay.
Okay. Sum your experience up in two words.
My two words are witch orgy.
Okay.
No, I'm just joking. Okay. Creative problems is what... my two words are. And the reason why is a lot of this movie, there's a lot of problems that aren't necessarily the director's fault. Some are, but some are more of the studio's fault. The fact that they wanted something so quick right after the first movie.
Yes.
They wanted to cash in on that. They did. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the director himself wanted that so much. I think he wanted to make something that was more artistic than that.
Yeah.
And there are notes of that in here, but it doesn't follow through.
Agreed.
Because I think the studio didn't let him.
Oh, completely agree.
And so those are my two words.
Okay. So obviously for our Blair Witch, for our movie, Blair Witch, my two words are where, bitch? I'll say that because where was this?
Where, bitch?
where were you expecting this to go? Like, it was, I think it was just all over the place.
It was all over the
place. It
lacked
that direction. I am just happy I got to work my terrible joke into my actual answer. No, there was a lot of misdirection in this, and it was, you know, it's like, there wasn't one captain helming the ship. It felt like you had multiple people.
Yes,
who were,
putting their own input in.
Yeah.
To get the money.
The whole fact that the characters were named after themselves tells me there was probably going to be more of a. Like a little bit of an improv aspect to it, or something where there's probably going to be high tension. We probably would have felt that more. But the studios weren't having that. I mean, there's all sorts of things there that I'm like, okay, like, I get it.
I felt like the director was like, here's my cut. And they're like, yes, but where's this going? What's the connection to the first movie?
When do they fight the witch to the death?
Right, like yeah. I felt like they were just not understanding it.
Yeah.
In fact, if you're going to make a Blair Witch sequel, at least call it Natalie Witch Project. Or Tootie Witch Tootie Project. Witch,
the Tootie Witch.
The Tootie Witch Project.
Oh my god, it's a witch and she's on roller skates.
That's just Joe. And she's not called a witch, she's called something else. Okay. So that concludes this episode of The Deuce. Where can people find us, Jeremy?
All sorts of places.
Guys, all sorts of places are correct.
No, so the deucepodcast.podbean.com.
Correct.
Wow, what? Okay, there was also, you can find us on iTunes.
Correct.
Google Play.
Correct.
Stitcher.
Okay.
All sorts of different podcatchers. You can find also find us on the nophonynetwork.com.
Correct.
So that's where we're proud members of the No Phony Podcast Network.
Correct.
Check out check all sorts of all the shows out there. There's something for everybody. This month's featured podcast is BS3 Sports and Music. So if you like sports,
we love those guys.
Yeah, we do. They're awesome. If you like sports and or music, that is the place to go. So definitely check them out. Highly recommend it. Also, at Twitter, you can get us at The Deuce Podcast. So you can find us there. We'll retweet other shows. We will tweet our own shows out. We'll just tweet all sorts of stuff. So,
if you do want to go back in our library, check out our werewolf series from last year. Go ahead and do that. We're going to continue to do our witches.
Yeah.
With what's next on our witch?
So
extravaganza or whatever we want to call it. Witch
I
bitch.
Would have
the witch
to.
Bitch.
I need to. Look that up, and as I am stalling for time, I will continue talking.
Sure, and I will say that the Blair Witch Project 2, The Book of Shadows, is a movie. Oh, okay.
Book of Shadows,
Blair Witch 2. You know, my name is Tristan, and I'll play the part of Tristan. Tristan
Wiggins
the Piston.
Is
Wiggins and Higgins. What's
Inferno.
Our movie?
Inferno.
You couldn't remember that?
I'm sorry.
I wasted all that time on nonsense.
Inferno, which is the sequel to Suspiria.
There you go. So check that out. And meanwhile, remember, the sequel is king.
Keep on changing.